So the countdown has begun once again to the RBS Six Nations, and this week all six coaches and captains gathered, as they do annually, at the Hurlingham Club in London to spin their clichés, aims and ambitions to the assembled hordes of media. And we started by hearing from a man who had rather a good 2013, a successful Lions coach, a caretaker coach in Rob Howley, who helped Wales win a second Six Nations tournament in succession. And so is Warren Gatland prepared to aim for three in a row?
Yeah, that's the challenge for us. It's nice to be able to come into the campaign with that as a focus, from a real positive point of view. So you've spoken to the players early in the week and said, look, we've got a chance to create history, do something special. There's already a bit of a spring in the players' step.
Gatland skipper Sam Warburton has rather a knack of being injured just when he's needed most, but he's hoping he'll be fit by the 1st of February when the tournament kicks off.
Yeah, I'll be fit for that weekend, I think, all going well. The rehab's going well so far, so I'm on schedule for that, but I'll have to have a sit down with Warren and the medics, and we have to decide what's the best avenue for me, whether to go back to the club for the Blues and play a game, or whether you go straight into the deep end at Test Arena. I'm not too sure, really. So, I think we're fortunate that we've got Justin as an open side, who's a world-class open side, so it takes the pressure off. There's no desperate rush to get back for games. I'll make sure I come back when my shoulder's ready.
Sam, just wanted to ask, you mentioned the Lions and some of the friends that you might come up against. Who in particular will you be looking out for over the tournament to say, hello, slightly different scenario than when I saw you last?
Me and JB Zit were chatting all game when we played Leinster a few months ago, having a bit of banter and stuff. But I think, the Irish boys, I thought they were a great bunch of lads. I mean, everybody there, the English lads, the Leicester boys, I got on with great.
Say that again?
The Leicester boys, I thought. So it'd be interesting to go up against everyone. I think, everybody will have that sort of mutual respect for each other now after going through the same pressures and things in the summer. So I'm really looking forward to coming up against those guys for the national team.
Sam's also in no doubt about which game means the most to him and the Welsh public.
I think purely because of the emotion that builds up with the fans and anticipation, in Wales, England is the one. And especially the last few games we've had against England, they're always, the last sort of 4 years, I grew up playing schoolboy rugby where England, always beat Wales. And now we get very competitive fixtures and it can go either way. So I think Wales-England are the games which the fans, they look forward to that one the most. You only have to drive in on the bus and see the streets before that game. And there's tens of thousands of people outside the Millennium Stadium waiting for that fixture. So it's it tends to be England with every nation, to be honest. They look forward to playing the English. But I have a bit of... there's a bit of rivalry there because, half my family's English as well, so it's it makes it quite interesting.
On to the French now, who have Pascal Pape skippering their side in the absence of Thierry Dussatoir. Out with a bicep injury, he will be a big loss to them, no doubt. But the campaign starts for Les Bleus with a visit from England, for none other than, yes, you guessed it, Le Crunch.
Je crois que de jouer contre l'Angleterre...
So obviously the French-England match is the first match. It is very important and we want to forget about 2013. Playing against England with a young team is very motivating and should make all this young team go way beyond their best. And it is also very important that we win this first match.
And the crunch is very, very important for the French player.
Pascal, Stuart Lancaster with England has worked on the culture of the team to create a very together team over the last 2 years. The French team has maybe had some trouble with that over the last couple of years. Is there something similar that Philippe Saint-André needs to do to get the team together?
Bonne nouvelle pour nous, c'est que... La convention qui a été signée entre
one good thing that has happened this year is that an agreement has been signed between the top 14 and the FFR so that we can be released for a two-week camp, which means that we are at the same level of training pre-season as the other teams in the tournament.
Les cinq autres équipes du tournoi.
So, interesting news then that the French will have more time to prepare than perhaps they've had before with this new agreement in place. So they'll be hoping for a better tournament this year. It can't get any worse than finishing bottom last year, of course. But what about the French public? Does Philippe Saint-André, the coach, feel they are behind his side?
To be honest, yes. To be honest, yes, because they were very patient and they were fantastic during the Six Nations, but also the test in November. They support our team during 80, 85 minutes. People love rugby. They want commitment. They want guys put the body on the line, and work very, very hard for each other during 80, 85 minutes. And to be honest, this young team showed this. And I think the French people understand this. But after, French people are no patient at all. So they were okay with us last year, but they want more success this year, you know.
Last year, Italy finished in a not-too-shabby fourth, but they'll face three away matches this year in their second season under Frenchman Jacques Brunel. So what must he bring to the Italians so that instead of scalping one or two teams each year, they could move on to become serious title contenders?
Il est très difficile pour une équipe pour changer les choses dans une équipe pour faire progresser.
It's quite difficult. It's a lot of different parts to this question. Obviously, you need to build a group, you need to have the ambition, the project, you need to get results, you need to make sure that the players are confident, you need to have the ambition for all of them, for players, but also you need to convince the public, the media, the refs. And it's not just like that. You can't just build a very good team just very quickly like this. You need to convince them all, as I said, public, media and referees.
So what about their talismanic skipper, Sergio Parisse? He is, of course, a shining light in the side, but where does he see other talent coming through the team?
Well, I think the one of the young players who impressed me a lot is Tommaso Allan, who played number 10. It's a position we're looking for a lot of years since Diego Dominguez finished his career with the Italian team, to find a number 10 with the ability to, you know, lead the team. I think he's young, he don't have too many international experience, but definitely we need you know, to let him matches to play, and as captain, as part of the team, give the confidence to him. And you know, next year we have the World Cup. We have fly-offs as Luciano Queda, who is 33 years old, 34 years old. So, you know, we, for the future, we want much to, you know, trying to give the chance to those players. So I think Tommaso Allan is going to be one of the players who, you know, I hope and we expect to, you know, he play a good Six Nations.
The Irish were one of the sides that fell to Italy in last year's tournament, but they come to it this year with a new coach in Joe Schmidt, formerly of Leinster, and the New Zealanders looking forward to his first experience of such a historic tournament.
Yeah, there's a real sense of anticipation for me because I haven't been involved in one before. I've gone along to a lot of Six Nations matches and really enjoyed the atmosphere and enjoyed the team performances, but there's a whole lot of events that go around that, and so that's exciting. And that's the sense of anticipation. The sense of dread is just, you know, the fear of not meeting expectations. I think we've built some expectation, and we're incredibly keen to deliver on that, and we're working hard. And, you know, I guess there's always the sense of dread that if that doesn't come to be, you've got to, you know, pick yourself up again. And that's not where you want to be. Obviously, it was massively disappointing to finish the autumn the way we did. But at the same time, we could get a little bit of confidence from that game as well.
Ireland will be led by the man who seems to have been around longer than rugby's been played, Munster lock Paul O'Connell, in a Six Nations that'll be Brian O'Driscoll's last. So can the Irish summon up the same spirit that saw the Lions achieve success to send off the one and only Bod?
Yeah, and hopefully now, you know, we can deliver something that is fitting to his last Six Nations. I mean, I said this a few times, I think very often your best attacking player can be your weakest defender, but I think, it's, you know, not only is he our best attacking player, he's our best defender, our hardest defender, you know, he's our hardest man at the ruck, and you know, tactically, technically, and leadership-wise as well, he's incredible. So, so he's been phenomenal for Ireland. We were very, very lucky to have him, and I think a lot of the success of Irish rugby down through the years have come on the back of his confidence and leadership. So as I said, hopefully we can deliver something now that's fitting to his career in his last Six Nations.
And what of O'Connell's Lions experience and any friends from the tour he's looking forward to bumping into?
Probably Mike Phillips. It's funny on Lions tours how the guys you hate the most are the guys you become friendliest with. So I've had two great tours with Mike and really enjoyed him. So I'm looking forward to catching up with him. I was looking forward to catching up with Ian Evans, but I don't know if that's going to happen now.
England opened their campaign with that trip to France then. But ahead of that, Stuart Lancaster has called in a number of new faces to his Six Nations training squad. So how easy is it for him to track the form of the players he thinks will start compared to those also pushing to impress?
Yeah, it takes a bit of doing. You've got to structure your training in a way that allows players to show what they can offer, but also helps reinforce what your game plan is. So, you know, you can do it in lots of different ways, but we played quite a few games yesterday in different condition games to allow them to show us what we've got to offer. Obviously, we spend quite a bit of time studying the training tape, and we'll make our decisions, of course, over the next 5 or 6 days. You know, obviously, we don't need to name the side yet. You know, we've got Monday and Tuesday next week, as well as the remaining sessions we've got this week. So, we've still got some decisions to make, but, you know, we're going in the right direction in making those.
Chris Robshaw was first given the captaincy at this point 2 years ago. So what games stand out for him?
Playing the French away in Paris, that's pretty special. You look at the history of the game and Le Crunch, what various people call it. But no, it's brilliant. And I think that rivalry in all the games, whether England are playing Wales, Ireland, Scotland, Italy, there's massive occasions. We've had two lucky escapes over Italy in the last couple of years, one away in Rome and one at home. So no, they're massive games for us, and like you said, if we're off our meta at all, teams will exploit it.
So finally, Scotland and their Saracens man Kelly Brown will lead the side again this year. They finished a very respectable third in the tournament last year. So what has that done for the side?
I think obviously it was a boost because we'd spent quite a number of years scrapping about at the bottom of the table, so it showed that we can challenge all of these teams. But as I've said, it's about just making sure that we keep on improving, but also about making sure that we're a bit more consistent, because Scottish sides of the past have always been able to raise their game for, say, a one-off game, but it's about making sure we do that week in, week out.
And it's another 12 months that have passed under the tenure of Scott Johnson. So what more does he know about the Scotland side given that time?
We've got some talented young kids here, you know. We've got to give them time in the saddle at international rugby. They've earned the right to do that. And I want to go to a World Cup in the selection panel knowing that we're arguing over who's in that team, and for positive reasons. And we're leaving out really good players. I don't, as I say, want to be at the mercy to an injury or two. So that what I've learnt, we've got talent. What I'm trying to do is grow and expand a squad and get competition for spots. This is part of that journey, even though it's a tournament, because it's important for Scotland we do this now. It is. I think it's not the ride's not about me. It's about Scotland as a nation and this team.
So what about the team? What does Johnson view is missing from Scotland that could bring about more positive results?
I just know that when I've been around these guys, you know, there's glimpses in any game we play, whether it's against the Blacks, the Box or Australia. We're in this and we're as good as anyone. The problem is we can't put that together for an extended period of play. And when we do, we beat them. There's no coincidence. We've beaten Australia. We've had some good scalps here. It's all about us getting consistent performance before the result. That's what we're aiming to do. The results come secondary when you're a team like us. We've got to focus on what we need to do to get what we all want. No dissimilar to my early time in Wales, it was the same mantra then. When you've had and achieved success, then you concentrate on others. To get success, you've got to concentrate on the process to get you out the other end. That's what we're about.
So there we are. That's the Six Nations previewed as I see it. Who'll win it? Well, I didn't predict Wales last year. Who'll lose? Well, I didn't predict France would finish last or that Italy would beat Ireland. It's for those reasons that it's the greatest rugby tournament in the world. For all the latest goings on in the tournament and for reports and interviews from the England camp, follow @rugbymedia on Twitter or head to youtube.com/rugbymedia.